Let's start with something that's been a long time coming. Google has officially reached 50% IPv6 adoption across its traffic, as reported by APNIC's blog. Now, to understand why this matters, you have to appreciate just how long the internet has been trying to make this transition happen. IPv4, the original addressing system, was designed in the early 1980s and gave us about 4.3 billion unique addresses. That sounds like a lot until you realize we've had billions of connected devices for years now. IPv6 offers a virtually inexhaustible address space, 340 undecillion addresses, which is a number so large, it's essentially meaningless to human intuition.
And the reason this transition has taken so long is fundamentally an economic coordination problem. For years, neither ISPs nor content providers had strong incentive to upgrade because the other side hadn't yet. ISPs would say, why invest in IPv6 infrastructure if major sites don't support it? And sites would say, why prioritize IPv6 if most users are still on IPv4? Google crossing 50% is a sign that this stalemate has genuinely shifted. When the largest traffic source on the internet is majority IPv6, the calculus for network operators changes.
The HN discussion had some interesting nuance here. Several commenters pointed out that Google reaching 50% globally obscures significant regional variation. Countries like Belgium and India are well above 70% IPv6 adoption, while large parts of Southeast Asia and Africa are still predominantly IPv4. The bottleneck at this point isn't really technical, it's ISP upgrade cycles, particularly for residential broadband. Business networks, interestingly, tend to lag behind consumer networks because enterprise IT departments are more conservative about changes that could affect uptime.
There's also a latency argument worth mentioning. In many cases, IPv6 connections are actually faster than IPv4, not because the protocol itself is inherently quicker, but because IPv6 traffic often takes more direct routes and avoids the overhead of NAT, network address translation, which is the workaround that's kept IPv4 alive this long. Every time a packet crosses a NAT boundary, there's processing overhead. At scale, eliminating NAT layers makes a real difference.
Shifting to another web fundamentals story, a 2019 article titled "Developers Don't Understand Cores" is currently sitting at 226 points with 133 comments on HN. The fact that a 7-year-old article is generating this volume of discussion tells you everything you need to know about the persistence of this particular confusion. Cores, cross-origin resource sharing, is the browser mechanism that controls which web origins can make requests to which servers. It sounds simple, and yet it is consistently one of the most misunderstood concepts in web development.
What I find interesting from a systems perspective is why the confusion persists. The article argues that developers fundamentally misunderstand who cores is protecting. Most developers assume cores is protecting the server from malicious clients. It's actually the opposite. Cores is the browser protecting the user from malicious websites. Your browser enforces cores policies, not the server. The server just declares its preferences, and the browser decides whether to honor them. When developers don't have that mental model correct, every debugging session turns into a mystery.
The HN comments reflect this. There are engineers with years of experience admitting they had the mental model backwards for a long time. Part of the problem is that the error messages browsers give you when cores fails are notoriously unhelpful. You get a generic blocked message when what you actually need to know is whether the pre-flight request failed, whether the server returned the right headers, or whether the request was credentialed in a way the server didn't expect. The tooling just doesn't make the underlying logic visible enough.
There's also a tendency to just copy-paste the access control allow origin star header as a fix-all and move on, which works until you need credentialed requests, at which point the wildcard isn't allowed and the confusion starts again. This article keeps resurfacing because the underlying gap in developer education hasn't been filled. Cores gets mentioned in web security courses, but rarely explained from the browser's perspective in the depth it deserves.